So with the with John Seed and the deep ecology movement, we developed the Council of All Beings, which, have any of you ever taken part in one? Hey, great, great, yes. And oh, see, and you learned a lot from that salamander. Yeah. So that's when a ritual that we developed that spread around the world, where we step aside from our human identity. Oh, that feels so good. It's like stepping out of shoes that are too tight and letting yourself be chosen by another life form. Yeah, and then we end up sometimes with masks that we make on the spot. We practice moving and speaking as this life form. It's very easy. It's easy to sort of shed your human inhibitions, because they're only inhibitions from this latest stage of our journey. And there, we have to shed them in order to do what we need to do for the sake of life on Earth. And then we sit in council and let ourselves speak. Let the being speak through us. And just last week, up in Guelph, Canada, in an intensive, we had a marvelous Council of All Beings. And first, people check in, and then they tell about what's been happening for them. And then we, let me see where I might have put that. No, okay, that's all right. We don't. You wouldn't be interested anyway. But then, after people check in, the life forms, the other life forms, and they talk about what's been happening for them in recent years, think how things have gotten kind of difficult. I was speaking for a Wild Goose, and things have been these, there was something happening to the shells of my eggs, often they'd break under me, and I find that on the migrations, there are fewer places for me to land. So these other life forms have a lot to say. And then it becomes clear from what the others are saying that it's caused by this upstart species of humans. Well, they better hear what we're saying. So then a few at a time are invited to take off their masks and pretend to be humans and go in the center of the circle and not say anything, to be quiet for once and listen to the other life forms who tell them what they need to hear. And then after a while of that, there comes the three stages. And everybody gets a chance to be both of human and another life form. And then we say, these humans are scared. The humans sense that things are out of control. They don't know what to do. They think they're all alone. So we invite each other as life forms to give them gifts, some of our gifts to the humans. So that's how it kind of ends with a people. I think I gave them as Goose my readiness to see far where I'm going and strong wings and shoulders, to just go for it. But all the life forms, even worm had some important things to tell, not be afraid of the dark, among others. there are many forms of I just want to touch on one other form of celebrating our deep ecology that occurred some time back. I understand that Matthew Fox was a speaker here. And when he wrote his book, The Coming of the Cosmic Christ, I was arrested by two sentences that I read. I can remember, I can just see where they were on the page. Where he said, the Paschal mysteries, like the Easter mysteries, of the third millennium will have to do with the death and resurrection of Earth, where Earth will play the role of Christ crucified. Wow. So, with my deep ecology buddies and anyone else who was interested, we began staging in the spring at the appropriate time of the calendar, Deep Ecology Passion Week. And the culminating one that we did, where we brought in Matt Fox. It was in Findhorn Community in Northern Scotland. And we had 225 people there from the Saturday before Palm Sunday through the whole Passion Week until Easter Monday. And we brought in other faith traditions as well as indigenous earth wisdom traditions from native peoples. As we followed, the path was sort of laid down by the Christian Passion Week, confronting the powers as Jesus comes into Jerusalem, and then the Last Supper, the Tenebrae, and the crucifixion and the resurrection. But in there we had much else, and we also used a lot of the art and the music and the movement. And what I wanted to see if I evoke it for you, you can see it in your mind's eye. We had home groups of about 15 each people. There were 14 of them, and we told them that they were meeting every day for an hour or so, and that on Good Friday, we would do a Stations of the Cross, and that this would be a Stations of the Crucifixion of Earth, and that they would choose an issue, be it the burning of the Amazon, be it the disasters of Chernobyl, be it the AIDS epidemic, be it homelessness, be it species extinction, they prepared, and we carried great crosses, each group, and would go across the dunes and copses, the land around Findhorn, to a place, 14 different ones. And on the way, we sang a Kyrie Eleison from the Russian canon. And then would come to, so we were mourning what we were doing to our earth home and its beings. To do this ritually with a large mass of people singing and toiling, this sense of pilgrimage, sense of moving through time, sense of owning together both our grief and through that grief, the authority of that this is our home. And this is the power the same power. It's the power of our love and a power of our belonging. The amazing thing to me about that week was that in the leadership team, we chose to stay in ignorance of how, what Easter could possibly be. It was not pre-planned. I don't know how we managed to do that. I like to have some sense of how I'm going to work things out. But you know, at the time of the, what came to be called the resurrection, nobody knew ahead of time. So, and Matt Fox and Matthew Fox had flown in, and there was a woman priest whom he broke the law by having her come and celebrate the Mass with him on Easter morning, but nobody knew what it would be. What is going to resurrect? We knew what was being crucified. And then it became clear. It was the ecological self. It was a realization, an experience of our true nature as an ecological self, as Earth. And you might probably can tell from even my tone of voice that that wasn't just a flash in the pan, that it wasn't over when it was over. You let something change you. That's the beauty of rituals. So we need more of these. Council of all beings. The Easter mysteries, deep ecology mysteries, whatever. We'll make that. So I will close now with a poem. And this poem is the ninth Duino elegy. This is the poem of Rilke's I knew first, and they're just passages of it. Oh, do we have to be human and keep running from the fate we long for? Oh, not because of such a thing as happiness, that fleeting gift before the loss begins. Not from curiosity or to exercise the heart, but because simply to be here is so much. And because what is here seems to need us. This vanishing world that concerns us strangely. Us, the most vanishing of all. Once for each. Only once. Once and no more. And we too, just once. Never again, but to have lived even this once, to have been of Earth, oh, that cannot be taken from us. So a hunger drives us. We want to contain it all in our naked hands, our brimming senses, our speechless hearts. We want to become it or offer it. But to whom? We would hold it forever, but after all, what can we keep? Not the beholding, slow, so slow to learn. Not anything that has happened here, nothing. There are the hurts and always the hardships. And there's the long knowing of love, all of it. Unsayable. Later, amidst the stars, we will see. They are better unsaid. The mountain wanderer does not carry back into the valley a handful of earth. That is unsayable. But but maybe a word, simple and clean. The blue and yellow gentian. Could we be here then in order to say house, bridge, fountain, gate, pitcher, apple tree, window, or at most pillar, tower? Oh, to say them, in fact. Oh, to utter them as even the things never thought themselves to be. Is it not the secret stratagem of our unspeaking earth to have lovers express her abundance as she drives them into each other's arms? Threshold. What is it like for two lovers to step over the same ancient threshold that so many have crossed before them and so many will cross again? Here is the time for telling. Here is its home. Speak and make known. More and more of the things we could experience are lost to us, banished by our failure to imagine them. Old definitions which once set limits to our living break apart like dried crusts. Between hammers pounding, the heart exists, like the tongue between the teeth, which still, however, does the praising. Praise the world to the angel. Leave the unsayable aside. Your exalted feelings do not move him. In the universe where he feels feelings, you're a beginner. Therefore, show him what is ordinary, what has been shaped from generation to generation, shaped by hand and eye. Tell him of things. He will stand still in astonishment, the way you stood by the rope maker in Rome or beside the potter on the Nile. Show him how happy a thing can be, how innocent, and ours, how even a lament takes pure form, serves as a thing, dies as a thing, while the violin, blessing it, fades. And the things, even as they pass, understand that we praise them. Transient, they are trusting us to save them, us, the most transient of all. As if they wanted in our invisible hearts to be transformed into, oh, endlessly into us. Earth, Earth, isn't this what you want to arise in us, invisible? Is it not your dream to enter us so wholly there's nothing left outside us to see? What, if not our transformation, is your deepest purpose? Earth, my love, I want that too. Believe me, no more of your springtimes are needed to win me over. Even one flower is more than enough. Before I was named, I belonged to you. I seek no other law but yours. And I know I can trust the death you will bring. See, I live. On what? Childhood and future are equally present. Sheer abundance of being floods my heart.